Welcome back. Another episode of Scenario is coming at everybody. Brother Matt, you're looking pretty tired, man.
Gee, thanks, man. I hope you don't talk to your women that way.
Yeah, I do.
You looking worn down, girl. What the hell's wrong with you?
You got my script up.
Like, damn. This ain't what I signed up for. You can't be looking beat up. You need to go take a shit or something. Bounce back. Damn, man. Yeah, I'm tired. I do a lot.
Hey, it's all right.
I got that weird sleep last night where I fell asleep on the couch, and then I woke up, and then I went to sleep for like 3 hours, and I woke up again, and then went back to the couch.
And it was just a terrible.
And it was just like, you know what? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I think I'm just going to get going.
And that's the end of it. You was just like, I'm done.
Yeah. I took my phone out and started shopping.
So that was the end of it all.
And that was pretty much the end of the whole thing, yeah. I'm going to get that good rest tonight, though. I'm going to get that red wine rest tonight.
Well, explain to some people that may not know, what is the red wine?
That red wine rest. Say that. Just one time fast, and I tried to do it right there, is when you get that good buzz and you lay down and you be kind of spinning a little bit like you might have got stole on. You ain't sure. Like you could have a concussion and you might not need to go to bed, but then you get that real good rest on the other side of it. You wake up and you be feeling like, whew.
Or you feel like, whew. Depending on what kind of wine
you're drinking. You see somebody? Or?
Yeah, like what kind of, depending on what kind of wine you're drinking now.
Yeah, I don't know.
You drinking some nitrate or something?
No, that's not wine.
That is wine.
I don't care. That ain't wine. I'm 35 years old. That ain't wine.
What is that? What is that category?
That is past mistakes that you don't need to keep making.
There's no category.
If you make over $20,000 a year, you don't need to be drinking nitrate.
See, you living off of 10 years ago. That you gotta adjust to inflation.
No, leave nitrate behind. You shouldn't have drank nitrate in the last 10 years.
You said don't care about it.
I don't want to hear anything about you justifying nitrate. How about that?
Yeah, I don't want no nitrate either. No. The smell of it would probably get me sick, though.
The Cisco.
And even, I found out that the PX sells Cisco still.
Yeah, no, it's not still there. That stuff ain't going nowhere. That stuff here for life. The struggle is with us.
And I wonder how long those bottles stay in. Or do you think they put, there's a fresh batch coming in?
No, that's the same one that your uncle didn't buy in, like, 1988.
That he forgot.
Like, Stoney Jackson picked that bottle up and put it back down.
Did I tell you that? Did I talk about last show that Stoney Jackson's wife hit us up? Yeah. Let's go and jump into the email box where we jump into some of our topics tonight. This one is coming from my man, Emery. Shout out to you, Emery, man. Shout out to all the Rwandans, man. I always mess with him and ask him if he's Hutu or Tutsi. You know, and say I'm being racist. Then I automatically, that's the only thing.
Are you being racist?
No, I wasn't.
I don't know anything about that game.
I was at first, though. I was like, I just threw out a random one because I only seen Hotel Rwanda. Mm-hmm. So I just threw out a random one. He was like, how you know that? Like, it was Hutu. He's a Hutu, I believe. And I was like, Hutu? He was like, you saw Hotel Rwanda, didn't you? I was like, you know I did.
He looks at you like, that's hurtful.
Yeah. No, because at first I said, you're Nigerian, right? And he was like, come on, man, why you do that? Because I assume every African is Nigerian. That's so weird. Because I'm racist and we only African Americans. We only know of Nigerians, South Africans don't even really even move to the United States like that. Because they got their own country kind of popping. They just got an apartheid.
Okay.
And they running shit too over now. So they like, what the fuck I'm gonna leave for?
Ghanaian, shit.
I'm trying to think. Ghanaian. You were running into some Ghanaians. Maybe some Senegalese. But you don't run into too many Rwandans, though, in general, in the U.S. Like, if a guy was like, yeah, I'm African. Or Kenyan. There's the other one, Kenyan. Ethiopian, Eritrean.
You said you don't see Kenyan?
No, I said Kenyan is the other one that you're more likely to run into. And then Ethiopian and Eritrean.
Okay.
Those are kind of your ones out. Then if somebody said they from Benin, you'd be like, oh.
It's probably some old hotel brothers running around here right now saying they from Wakanda.
And pull it up on a map for you.
Do we count Detroit?
Detroit was supposed to be the Wakanda at one point.
No, I'm talking about Africa.
Shit. But shout out to Emery, man. He says, dope show, laugh out loud, switched up my emails, y'all see. Yeah, that show The Shop is very dope. Gives us more info about today's athletes. Wish we had more of these back in the 90s, but oh well. I'm from Ohio, so hearing and learning more than I knew about LeBron is dope. I went to see him in 2003-2004 when they played their finals. Akron is about 3 to 4 miles from where I stay, Dayton. And hell no, I don't like Cleveland, because of how they treated LeBron when he first left. Shit, they the reason he left since they ain't giving him the real help he needed. Always dope show. Keep it up.
He the reason they left, because they ain't giving him the hope he needed.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. LeBron's a disadvantaged child still?
I wonder that, though, if he looks back at Akron and be like, man, I got to get the fuck up out of here.
I would, for sure. I'd absolutely be like, nah, bro.
He bought that big crib in Akron. He's like, man, this is too close to home. Like,
my kids can't be a part of this.
Nah. Bronny can't be with this.
Yo, I was, I mean, yeah, LeBron needs to be where LeBron's at now. Like, if you're LeBron James, you don't need to be living in Ohio. I mean, like, who's the most overmatched athlete for the city he lives in? Like, you're the best athlete in the city, and you're just like, huh?
Ever.
No, right, like Jim Brown. Right now.
Jim Brown and him are the biggest athletes come out of Cleveland.
No, I'm talking about period. What athlete is in the city right now where you're just like,
oh, you're saying in general.
What are you doing here?
Like, oh, like, you're too big for the town.
Yeah, like, what's happening? Is it Paul George and Russell Westbrook?
Oh, 100%. That's it.
Like,
yeah, they should be there. No, Oklahoma City shouldn't be that good.
I mean,
they are a team that should only, Utah's the other one.
They don't have anybody, though, that's like standing over the shoulders. I mean,
and then when they get him, they leave.
I mean, I guess Donovan Mitchell.
But I'm saying, as soon as he gets his contract to be able to leave, like Hayward and
Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez are in Cleveland, too. You know, I mean, you got them cast as some G's and those G's, too.
Yeah, and. But I think the answer is Paul George, Russell Westbrook, though.
Okay.
But as I'm trying to think of, maybe when Bo Jackson's on the Royals back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking more of a, kind of more historically, I mean, some people could probably say McGuire and St. Louis, maybe. Well, no, because the Cardinals is a big organization.
Yeah, that's like being a Green Bay Packer. Yeah. Like, you're there for a reason.
Even though Aaron Rodgers is not, he's big, but he's still a Packer.
Yeah, I mean, he's a massive star.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, being a Packer, being a Cardinal, being a Steeler, being a, you know.
What about Michael Vick in Atlanta, though? Even though he was bigger than Atlanta, even though Atlanta's big and crazy.
Well, Michael Vick was a sensation, though. But Atlanta's not a city where. No, Atlanta's a city that can host a massive star, though.
Saying that they like you can't handle having this.
Like, I'm saying, like, you look at them, like, what the hell? Like, if Dominique Wilkins played for the Jazz, you would be like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah. What about when GP and them was in Seattle?
Seattle, big city. I mean, that's perfect. That's a basketball hobby. Yeah. That's like the Packers leaving Green Bay.
I get Bo Jackson would be the one I can think of that's off the flip.
Maybe.
In Kansas City. I'm sure listeners will correct us.
Yeah, think about a few of them.
They're probably sitting on Google now yelling at us like, is Leroy Jenkins in 55 on the
Shaq in Orlando?
Ooh.
Back in the day. Yes. But not now.
Yeah, but no, but we said Bo Jackson.
Well, I was talking about right now.
But I'm saying I was just throwing it out there just to kind of expand the question.
Yeah.
It's got to be Shaq. I mean, Shaq's another good one.
Shaq, Bo Jackson.
Is Penny? Even though we think about Penny then.
Penny didn't get to get a chance. Penny can't be, because Penny was never a bigger star than Shaq. So he can't be a better answer to the question.
I mean, it's Aaron McNair? With Tennessee Titans?
Nashville's a city.
But you got to think, he was there when Nashville was trying to come up, though.
It ain't bigger than Shaq in Orlando, though. I mean, Orlando sucks.
But Orlando had a whole bunch of teams. I mean, at least had a team way before Nashville had anything until he came on the scene. And they had this still different.
Just because they put a city there, put a team there, they just wanted another team in Florida. Because you got to remember, them early 90s, Jacksonville Jaguars popping up down there.
Yeah, the Miami Heat.
The
Orlando Magic was in the space.
The Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, Florida was like.
Florida Panthers.
Florida was the booming state for professional teams. The Miami, the Marlins just went down there. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it's got to be Shaq.
Yeah.
And just to be, I mean, Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, it probably Shaq might be it. I can see that.
I mean, LeBron in Cleveland. Until LeBron in Cleveland.
If Kobe
would have went to Charlotte.
David Robinson, San Antonio?
Iceman had already been a starter.
Starting there. So he was kind of coming up behind him. I'm trying to think of like small. I guess.
Kevin Garnett in Minnesota at the time.
Ooh, that's a great one, actually.
Yeah. Vince Carter and basketball in Canada.
Vince Carter had a whole
country. No, but Daniel Stoudemire was legit, like, booming for a while. Yeah. There, like, right off
the top. He beat Jordan two times that year, remember?
Yeah.
Toronto Raptors beat the Bulls, the two-day losses when they got 10.
I remember it well.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you go back in time, Pete Maravich being in Utah was, like.
But that was the thing. They tricked him. Because he started in New Orleans.
Yeah. Carl Malone fits with Utah, so I ain't.
Yeah, he seems like he should be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tricked Pistol Pete.
I mean, this is like if Obama came from West Virginia or something. You'd be like, what? The fuck? The fuck is this? who this nigga in West Virginia talking about hope? Who this nigga out from that nag, Mr. Candy?
Somebody that I think has been in the city, but he's calmed down. Pac-Man Jones in Cincinnati.
Pac-Man Jones is gone, though.
But I'm talking about when he was there, I'm saying in Cincinnati. Even though people don't think of that, you gotta think how notorious he was.
Pac-Man went to all the OC cities. He went to Nashville, Cincinnati, Dallas. Where he at now? He's, God damn, where's Pac-Man at? Man, I saw him on TV the other day.
I'm so, Pac-Man, think, Pac-Man is a hell of a
He needs to be open. He needs to finish the trio and end up in Oakland.
He also needs a 30 for 30.
He might just need a 20 for 20. I don't need the extra time.
No, you got to think he's a hell of a turnaround story, man.
Yeah, but then again, then he slapped somebody in the airport.
That's true. But that story, that wasn't his fault, though.
We got
that actually wasn't his fault.
I don't care. It happened. I need another 10 years. The Pac-Man, when he retired, going to really get out. He's going to be like Steven Jackson.
He's on the Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Now he's in Denver. Jesus Christ. John Elway in Denver in the early 80s was a reach, too. But yeah, what else we got on email?
All right. Next up, this next email is from Herbert A. He says, I never miss out on you all's podcast. 50% of the podcasts are just talking about the same shit, but you all at least bounce out the topics of today with random scenarios that make me laugh and think about my friends and discussions too. Quick question, you all did not talk about the Eminem kerfuffles going on within hip hop. I know D is big into the hip-hop scene. I definitely wish Javon was on this as well to talk about it, but I definitely want to see what you all thought about this whole Eminem beefing with Joe Budden, MGK, etc. Peace.
Break it down for folks.
I mean, everybody should know that. Eminem dissed.
My dad listens to this show. I guarantee you. That's true.
Okay. great point that
you
I
got a bigger demographic.
That's true. My uncle listens too, so he's...
Yeah.
So Eminem... last album was trash, called The Revival, and a lot of people dissed him and said like it was whack, blah blah blah. So he came out with a surprise album two Fridays ago. Yeah, it's two Fridays ago now. But when this comes out, it'll be two Fridays.
Hey, can I rant about something real quick before you finish this story?
Have it.
I'm tired of people dropping surprise albums. I'm from a different era. I like to know that on Tuesday some heat coming. Maybe on a Friday if you really
Friday albums come on Fridays though.
Like, but my thing, I'm talking about back in the day. I mean, whatever day they come out on, mm-hmm. I'm tired of just being like, now streaming on Spotify. Yo, some notable artist dropped a full LP. I mean, a full album. Fuck a LP.
Yeah.
Dropped a whole album. I mean, like, yo. Like, maybe if you put this out there, you made it be more of a thing, it'll be more buzz for albums. But I think that people cutting corners with technology makes me feel like I don't get as excited for albums
anymore. I think you only can do that if you were in the top 50 within all genres, that you can do a surprise album.
Like Sting coming down from the top of the stadium
yep.
in 98?
Like Eminem can do that. Beyonce, Jay-Z, Kanye,
It's exciting when they do it.
Guns N' Roses, if they drop a surprise album,
about it
like
is
crazy.
They should do it every time, though. Like, still have an album that we know, like, I'm going to wake up on that day and I'm going to know it's dropping.
Well, I mean, Eminem had an interview and he brought up a great point. He said that people, he noticed when people drop a surprise album, people don't have time to ridicule the album before it comes out on what they think it's supposed to be. Because they track listing comes out, all that kind of different stuff when you prepare an album to come out.
So what? Like,
I mean, I'm just telling you for that.
No, I mean, I get it. I get it. But I'm like, so what though? You know what I'm saying? Like, you lived in that world before, and we lived in that world longer than
We didn't get a track listing, though, before albums dropped.
Oops, Pow, Surprise world we living in now.
What was it? But we didn't have track listings, though, and things like that. We didn't know who was guest starring on the album. If you guys saw a poster early, and it was like, if it was a Master P album featuring Snoop, C Murder, and that had people.
Well, if you get a Master P album, you know you get all the time. You get 47 people on that album, and some dude like
within
like,
a 2 minute song sometimes.
And like eight cats you ain't never heard of before, like your cousin Real, like my cousin Real, like yes, your cousin Real, he's on here too.
The one on Little Natural Bridge, yes.
Like damn, I ain't know that's what he been at. finish about Eminem, yeah. And Machine Gun Kelly. But so, I mean, I'm just like
Eminem diss like a whole bunch of the mumble rappers. Then he dissed Machine Gun Kelly with a pretty dope line. It goes, basically, he took his last name, I believe, is Kelly, and he mixed R. Kelly's name with it and did it like a stanza with it, but like, you know, or whatever, with it, because he talked about MGK. Well, Eminem, I think he's lying when Eminem said he didn't even know that MGK would talk, because he basically was like, damn, Eminem's daughter, Haley, fine. He said he's fine as a motherfucker.
Now we get back into Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, he said she fine as a motherfucker.
Now that's almost an all capital. Well, damn.
Yeah, it was. He said she fine as a motherfucker.
You can't be all capital in people's kids and women and then thinking they're not gonna shoot back.
And I think she may have been a teenager still. That's I think was when he did it. He did it 6 years ago. MGK did.
Yeah, she definitely had to be a teenager 6 years ago. That's 16. That'd be almost Catholic if you did that.
Let me see how old Eminem's daughter is. Let's see here. Eminem's daughter is 22, so she was 16 when he said that.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Yeah. But then Eminem said that he was just tired, because then Machine Gun Kelly came and dissed him on a Tech N9ne song or whatever. And then Eminem came back dissing him on his album. And he also dissed Joe Budden, who was signed to him with the group Slaughterhouse. He dissed him because Joe Budden is one, if some people may or may not know, he has probably the most popular urban podcast in the world right now. They doing like a million listens a week type shit.
Oh.
Yeah. So...
we coming for you, nigga.
Yeah, we right there.
We almost there.
We right there, ranking 1,898.
Yeah, just the goal is to be 1,892
next week. Yeah. Baby steps. Yeah. You can only go down. We can only come up.
We got time. Not worried. We'll get there.
So basically, Eminem dissed everybody. So MGK came back with a song called "Rap Devil" because Eminem calls himself Rap God. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit, it's not that bad. It's not bad. Machine Gun Kelly was decent on it. And he had some nice little ribs he was getting at Eminem.
Do you like Machine Gun Kelly?
Not at all.
Okay.
Don't like any.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
shoot. Yeah, but no, because he was going somewhere I didn't want you to go. Not at all. I've never liked the song from him.
You looked at me like, what you about to say?
Never liked the song from him ever. So, but the track was decent. I would say it's more decent. It was a solid 6 or 7.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, like he's going to get destroyed by Eminem if Eminem wants to respond. But then also there's a thing of a big bully aspect of people thinking that they can't take on somebody to a certain extent. People think that Eminem is unfallible as an MC. Anybody can be touched.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? But I think people are like, oh, MGK got the audacity to come at him again. Why not? It's hip hop. This is a competitive sport.
You can go after
whoever
you want.
Yeah.
It's free work.
So Eminem, people think he's going to come back. Joe Budden said that he didn't come up with enough lyrics to come at him, for him to respond. If he does, he said he's coming out of retirement. Now keep in mind, Joe Budden is in retirement as well. Joe Budden is in retirement. Rap retirement, he says.
Can you be in rap retirement, though?
He hasn't come up with nothing in...
Yeah, no, that's years. Good. That's
but he claims he's in retirement. He is a guest star. He hasn't done anything.
Why?
Because he said his podcast has been more lucrative for him than rapping.
Well, I get that, but I mean, I feel like rap's a passion play, though.
Yeah, but maybe he don't want to release anything. Maybe he's doing something in his own crib and never releasing it. But he said he would come back out of retirement for Eminem if the time you know came to something. Eminem came back and dissed him some more.
Does he want it like that?
Yeah, I think he could give Eminem some run though. Joe Budden could give Eminem some run. Huh. I 100% believe that.
Huh. Okay. Well, God bless you, man. Go for it, brother.
100% believe that he would give Joe Budden all he can handle.
Wait, he would give Eminem all he can handle?
Yeah, I think so. And Joe Budden claimed on his podcast he's been better than Eminem the last 10 years.
Well, let's take it easy. Wait a minute, what was 10 years ago?
2008.
I'm not big on Joe Budden, but...
But he may be right. No, like, you gotta think, Eminem's last 2.5 albums have been trash.
So here's the thing, though. When we talk about people being better, when we talk about their albums, are we talking about their skill or are we talking about their output?
Output. I've been putting out better lyrical stuff than you in the last 10 years.
All right. If we're going to talk about output, maybe. I just, when I think about...
Well, no, I get you. It's like LeBron's saying it. But it's like LeBron... This may be a bad scenario, but this is try to... People try to kind of feel where I'm coming from.
There are no bad scenarios. There's just people that don't have as good ones as
others. That's very true.
Don't be...
It'll be like LeBron's saying, I've been better than you, Jordan, the last 10 years.
Well, okay. No, because he's like outright retired. Okay. Like Michael Jordan hasn't picked up
okay, that's like LeBron saying to Carmelo, I've been better than you the last 10 years.
Well, he was always better than him.
Look, no, Carmelo doesn't believe that, though. Like, but Carmelo doesn't believe that.
Okay, let's take this to another step. If you really feel like this about Joe Budden, it's like LeBron saying, telling Kobe he's been better than him the last
Which is true.
All the last 10 years of LeBron?
Yes, he has been.
2008?
Yes. that's the best example.
When was the last time Kobe won MVP?
Like 06?
Well, MVP doesn't count for Kobe, I'm sure.
Yeah. But 06?
I don't know. 2010, Kobe was still better than LeBron.
Go look at the numbers.
Wait, I ain't worried about the numbers.
But I was wondering the numbers. You
have Kobe is winning titles. Kobe's putting 30 in the finals.
And you know who LeBron had on his squad?
Oh, I ain't worried. I'm not talking about the team. I'm just talking about the effort of the player.
But I'm talking about
LeBron
was been the best player in the league the last 10 years, period.
Wow.
I don't even think that's a bold statement.
I'm no Kobe guy.
And I'm not a Kobe guy.
On the record of saying that many times.
But no, I'm saying I'm like that is the best example. You gave the rest scenario. That's makes Joe Budden would be LeBron James in the situation, even though these are unequitable because Joe Budden isn't like the LeBron James of rap, but everyone gets me.
I mean, that's really we're talking more about like a Patrick Ewing, David Robinson type thing here, but I mean still. You know what this is more like? This is like Kobe and Tim Duncan. Where there was one dude that was real dope that wasn't as big of a star as the other one, but when you look back at it, the other one was as dope, if not doper, than the other.
Yeah, but Eminem is a doper overall MC over all time, and I don't know if there's a 10-year period where Tim Duncan was better than Kobe. There's a legitimate case to say that from 08 to now, LeBron's been the best player in the league.
This is a completely different conversation than we'll have about era dominance in basketball. There's always an era dominant person, you know. But I mean, there's moments though where Kevin Durant is playing better basketball than LeBron James now.
100%.
So that's kind of.
But
from my perspective,
Allen Iverson was better than Kobe at some time period.
So from my perspective, I look at it like Joe Budden's more of a Kevin Durant than an outright better than Eminem at any point in time. Maybe he's had a better year. Maybe he won MVP. Maybe he won some titles.
Overall, Joe Budden is not better.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though. So, like, I look at it like LeBron and Durant, even though Joe Budden in the overall rap game ain't Kevin Durant.
So, that's the Eminem thing. I'm interested to see what's going on coming up soon. G-Eazy responded. His MGK dissed G-Eazy during that. His diss to Eminem. So, G-Eazy jumped in it with the... proverbial G-Eazy track. Sound like something you ride to with your woman, but he's dissing somebody. So I don't know if it was a love song or if he was a diss song. Couldn't tell. And that's not a diss to G-Eazy. He got his lane, just kind of laid back, chill kind of guy.
He's the number three white rapper out there. Do we count? Is Post Malone a rapper? I'm confused about this. Is he?
No. He don't even write his own shit.
He doesn't?
No, what you call it?
I don't know. I stay away from
Joey Badass wrote that big single we got. Joey Badass wrote that.
Yeah, I stay away from that. When it comes on the radio, I like him like, this isn't for me. Here's one of the hallmarks of me knowing that I've gotten old, that most of the time I listen to the radio and I start to be like, nah. And I can't always say anymore, it's just like the music just isn't as good even though it isn't. Sometimes it's just me being like,
it's just not me?
Nah, I think this isn't for me. And then I put on Spotify and listen to something from 15 years ago.
So, I mean, are you putting Eminem as a consistent right rapper now? I can give you the top five right rappers.
Oh, I think Eminem is absolutely the top
right rapper. Currently?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, before we even get into that, rest in peace to Mac Miller, man. Love little Mac Miller, man. OD last week. Right after the show.
Tough.
Right after we record the show, he OD.
Yeah, that's a tough...
26 years old.
Yeah, it's crazy. Saw an interesting thing about that, too, where, you know, people was talking about he was with Ariana Grande.
And people were trying to say it was her fault.
And but then, like, his people came out on the radio this week and say, yo, she was the best thing that, like, ever happened to him. Like, mm-hmm. She was, like, mad committed. And I'm like, I got around. I see you being a down-ass girlfriend out here and shit, even mm-hmm. though you was a massive-ass star. And, like, you see so many of the times, I just don't even consider star relationships to be legit ones because it's, like, passing in the
And
night.
I feel like it's the PR, because the PR person sets it up.
Right.
And it's, like, whack because it's,
how's
like...
This, who's this benefit for? But she was, like, his people, like, his inner circle people was like, yo, she was doping down for dude.
No, that's what they said. They said that she couldn't deal with his substance abuse too longer. That's why they broke up.
Instead of beating her up.
Yeah,
like,
so...
She just couldn't deal with that.
I mean, it probably does suck for Mac Miller in a certain extent that as soon as we break up, you got engaged to the dude from Saturday Night Live within like 2 or 3 months.
She engaged Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
That's
they was only together like 2 or 3 months.
That's like the NBA Jam team that got a real dope cat that you want to play with, but then the other one sucks. And you just like, damn. Don't see how
old I'm trying to think of what's some...
It was Shaq and Scott Skiles. You just like Pete Davidson, Scott Skiles, and Ariana is Shaq, and you just like, or Sean Kemp and Benoit Benjamin.
Ooh.
And you just like,
and you can't even get Gary Payton.
No, they ain't put him on a fucking game.
Yeah.
And you just like, this sucks. That's exactly what it is.
NBA Jam.
It's like the Bills with Nathan Peterman starting, but then you got a real quarterback
the
behind
Peterman. The Peterman. Oh, man. So let's go ahead and jump into our topics, man.
Did we answer this question about... I mean, we talked about
it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's
kind of inconclusive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what's going on going forward with the rap beef. I love rap beef, as long as it don't get violent, you know. So let's go and jump into the bracket. Update everyone on the dopest
black TV shows
of all time. Bracket, man.
We out here. All right, man, week two.
The lead eight?
Yeah.
The lead eight?
Yeah, like week two. Week two got interesting. It got mad interesting.
Yeah,
yo, first of all, shout out to everybody who took a second to get involved in it.
Then go to bracketfight.com.
Yes, sir. Bracketfight.com. You can catch on all our social media streams and whatnot. Well, by the time this show drops, round three will be underway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be serious. It's going to be not time for games anymore. We're going to be
getting,
ready for, ready for the Final Four after this one.
Oh, shout out to my sister-in-law. She said that it's a damn shame that we let Living Single go out like that.
I mean, what could we
and
do?
She said they should have been versus girlfriends.
But we're not here. Like this, like I said, when my people was like, who put the teams together? I said, this is a non-denominational church of shows. This isn't about picking the best comedy to then go against the best drama and then the best sketch comedy. This is about show versus show. We did Tears and Impact the Show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Girlfriends Against Living Single would have been interesting, but it would have just set somebody else up to get slaughtered because they both got beat up in the first round bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have just made somebody else have to take a heart out.
But Living Single lost to...
Arsenio Hall, I thought.
Yeah, they did.
Got bodied up, too.
Yeah, got bodied up, too.
All right, so let's go back and let's go to the top. A juggernaut at the top that's having like a Kentucky, like Duke-like run so far through the first two rounds, but... Never know. Could end up being like Kansas. I don't know. We'll see. The Cosby Show.
They have a player that's maybe just depending on who's going to play or not.
Well, they could be Memphis then.
The ACT score is coming back.
Yeah, second semester coming up. You might not have everybody you had to start the year with. So you got the Cosby Show taking on In Living Color. Now, In Living Color came out strong first round. In Living Color came out on that in the very first round and like put a show on. That was not the case this time. After In Living Color won 48-5 in the first round over the game, Cosby Show took them out 25-7. I mean, quick work. Cosby Show taking on all comers. And then at the same time, by the same split, A Different World took out Soul Train. In a nasty fashion.
What one Cosby Show enters... One goes leaves out.
There could be
There's going to be one Cosby Show that's going to be coming out.
There could be only one. Now, next we had an upset of upsets. We had our first number one seed bite the dust. You want to take? I know this hit you. This hit you in a place.
Look, I tried to vote and I voted like three times too. Because I was there that this is going to happen.
That's why this one got so many more votes.
No, I literally did not vote on no. I voted my normal one. Then I went from different browsers, different computers. Any tablet, anything I could have to vote.
Yeah, there's stuff in the ballot.
Stuff in the ballot box.
Called over to China.
I was like, yo, somebody.
Yo, Gerald on the phone, Putin.
Yo, I sent it out to my boy. Like, yo, y'all got to go in and vote for the Jeffersons, man.
Well, ended up first the number one seed fell, with the Jeffersons falling to death.
Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. Everyone else should be ashamed of y'all fucking selves. Every one of y'all.
You want to ask me who I voted for?
You voted for Death Country.
Yeah, right. You ain't shit.
You ain't shit.
I was the first person to vote in. Give me that Def Comedy Jam. I got great memories of Def Comedy Jam. Like, I just do.
Man, all my old heads rolling over in their graves and on the streets.
Like, damn, you killed all these people? You got that mad about it?
No, they mad about it.
Hey, man. Rest in peace, Sherman Helmsley. In the brackets, too.
Yeah, that whole show's dead.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everybody on the show, except for Martha Gibbs.
That's crazy.
Time literally everybody.
I know, time be moving.
Yeah.
Next up,
even the first line was dead.
Yo, in what was a battle of big money heavyweights, a battle where some people said this shouldn't be happening yet. Some people said this battle happened too early.
This is when Isaiah Kanan was on Murray State and they had to play Marquette. Next round, they were like, how you going to put a team that only lost one game as a Cinderella of the year against Marquette, his number 3 seed?
Next up, we got Chappelle's Show versus the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
This is upset, too.
By seed, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think in general it is. One show makes more money than the other one, it's being in syndication. Like, they make way more money.
Yeah, but one's been on more channels, too. Like, the one you came in.
The one I'm talking about has been on more channels than the other one.
Which one are you talking about?
Fresh Prince. It's syndicated on like 4 or 5.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Chappelle's Show ain't finna be just everywhere.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, though, is that it's locked into one or two networks.
Yo, well, Chappelle's Show took Fresh Prince down handily.
Yeah.
Like, handily. Yeah. Like, got it out of there. And it's tough. It's tough. It's two shows that... Fresh Prince is one of the most unique shows ever in TV history. Like, ever. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Chappelle's Show essentially became a one-man black SNL.
Not even just a one man. You remember the other people that the supporting cast.
Well, yeah.
You remember Donald Rawls. You remember.
Yeah. I mean, you remember the other people that were in there. But I mean, it just was a different thing, and it was a fucking comet that streaked through the sky. It just was, but it's still now. It still resonates.
And the crazy part is, people didn't get on Chappelle's Show until the Rick James skit. Like, I remember I watched the first season when it was coming out every week, and there was people like, "Oh, okay, I'll check it out." But when
he was on it big with first season.
But he was in college. But I'm saying,
yeah,
because I was my senior in college, is the first season. But when people, I remember when I missed part of the second season, because I was traveling for work a lot when I first graduated college. And I remember when that Rick James hit, though, that, like, everybody was watching
That was the comment that really took it off. The Rick James and Prince and all of that just was like, whoa. But, I mean, a lot of the big statement segments was in season one, you know. Like, I mean, the very first...
The white Klansman.
They kicked off with Clayton Bigsby. Mm-hmm. I was like...
First episode.
I was like, what the hell is this?
The Mad Real World.
Yeah. Man, I mean, it was crazy. But
actually, Larry is on season 2, too, though. That was a big deal, too.
Leonard Washington was on season 1.
And 2.
Yeah. Go over that all day. Yeah. James, James, the nigga hating Dolphin. Everybody, get out the pool! It's James!
The nigga hating Dolphin!
He said some people call him Flipper. I know him by another name. James.
Yo, they gotta think the R. Kelly joint, me do the R. Kelly videos. I'm gonna be on.
When he took that doo-doo butt out, I was like,
dude. Hey. And then when he did a remix,
we gotta do an appreciation for some of these shows. Yeah. When this gets down, we gotta do some appreciation episodes.
Yeah.
For this. Next up, yo.
I thought this was.
I thought it was ugly.
At the beginning of the week, this was close. Actually, one of the shows was ahead of the one that won for like a day or so.
I know a point when Martin turned the corner too. The next bracket match we'll be talking about is Martin versus Atlanta.
When do you think it turned the corner?
I shared it with my chapter.
And I shared it with some of my boys.
And a lot of them was like, it was like, what the, what?
The hell and, when we promoted on the Facebook page too.
Yeah, and people saw that. And people protect Martin. I mean, Martin's one of the most protected things.
Technically, Martin's already twice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Martin is.
So they're coming, Jim.
Martin is moving. But Martin takes down Atlanta in a furious comeback because Atlanta came out strong. Atlanta came out real strong. But yo, props to Atlanta, man. 2 years in, two completely different shows in both of them 2 years, and you know what I'm saying, it did its thing, and now it's still and now. But you know, Martin wasn't going out after one round. Two rounds. It just ain't like that. Next up. Sanford and Son versus Family Matters. Yo, this got out of hand. Like, I didn't think it was going to be.
I knew it was. It was one of the ones that you was like,
But I just, you know, I know people got a big affection for Family Matters.
Yeah, but do they really, though?
Yeah, hell yeah, people do. I mean, you still hear some Carl Winslow jokes now, to this day. But, I mean, Sanford and Son, I mean, it just came for it. In a major way. I mean, just in a major way. Yo, is Sanford and Son on any streaming outlets? Is it on Hulu?
It might be on Hulu. Or, Hulu would be more likely where it would be.
Yeah, if it isn't.
That makes sense if it was on Hulu.
If it isn't, man, it needs to be out there soon. Next up. We got The Wire versus Arsenio Hall. Now, if you go back to last week, we was worried about The Wire coming out of round one because it seemed like a few people were sleeping. And I think that a couple people I know saw The Wire's showing in week one and got offended. They said, who are these people?
We gonna come out and vote.
They said, point these people out. Yeah, it was inspirational. Like, I felt like this is like people watching TV like two Novembers ago. Like, what the hell?
It's like an NCAA tournament, that number two seed that almost lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. And then they just annihilated everybody going forward because they was like, nah, we ain't gonna let this happen.
Well, I mean, I think people got offended because it was the Wayans brothers that actually came within 20 votes.
That's one of them ones, though, too, that I think that has gotten a lot of love over time because it's syndicated, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it popped out at a time when people probably feel a certain way about it. But The Wire, I mean, people always came with, the main thing that people came to me and said was like, yo, this is like great TV, period. Forget just a black show. This is great TV, period. So, and our last one for today, yo, Airtight. Entertaining to watch this.
I'm glad that black people, at least some black people, are our white listeners too. We have white Willis listeners too.
Oh yeah.
Least could get this one right.
You know what? I like to see how tight it is on a generation basis because it's basically just the evolution of black people from one generation to the next. And it was Good Times versus Black-ish. Well, Good Times edging it out.
Barely.
And we're just so happy that we got them.
Look, it's gonna be a good one for the next round.
Oh, it's moving on. Let's take a look at the next round now. Actually, that we at this point,
the Elite Eight, the winner of these goes on home.
So up next we got, knocked it down. We got The Cosby Show versus A Different World.
Mm-hmm. One Cosby Show enters, one leaves.
It's good. That's gonna be. That's like asking people, like I said earlier, it was like asking to pick your favorite uncle.
Don't be surprised if A Different World wins, though.
I wouldn't be surprised by anything at this point.
Yeah, because everybody's battle-tested through this.
You got some heavyweight shows going against each other now. Next up, this is the one I can't wait to see. Def Comedy Jam versus Chappelle Show. I don't know. I'm going to have to think. I'm about to do a little montage moment where I like take a walk and I'm like throwing rocks.
Skipping rocks on the river, on the pond.
I'm laughing with the different things that happen in life. That's going to be something. Now, next, this is one that's either going to be real tight or going to get ugly. Martin versus Sanford and Son.
I think this is going to get ugly. Because if we've seen that we have degenerates that listen to our show that voted Jeffersons not to make it to the next round.
I mean, you call me names and as much as you want to, that's fine.
Y'all put down a black superhero.
You know how this feels? It's like when you voted Zoe out.
Zoe's not iconic as much as Jefferson, though.
You speak for yourself, brother. And finally, our final matchup of the Elite Eight, The Wire versus Good Times. And that's about as far apart of two shelves as you can possibly get.
Look, a part of you be like, what they should have been doing is selling drugs, like on the wire, to get about that situation.
Guess what, Joe Rogan? I sell rocks. I smoke rocks. So, yo, that's ready now. Head on over to bracketfly.com. Get involved in the dopest black TV shows of all time. It's the latest bracket game brought to you by the folks here at The Scenario. We got another one coming together on the other side of this. Yeah. That's going to be...
Shout out to our listener that gave us that idea,
too. It's going to be some heat. Oh, that one, too. But, oh, I was hollering at AI on Tuesday night, and he ready to get down for the other joint.
Yeah, well. I told you that's... I was against this bracket, but I'm vehemently against the other bracket you want to do. Vehemently. Actually, I might just come and not say nothing.
Van and Ray are ready.
I might come and not say anything.
AI focus. We ready to get this going.
No, man, I'm not.
Hey, you want to talk about Gilbert Arenas?
Yo,
one of the foremost black people of the last 10 years under the radar. Gil the Thrill been out here living his best life.
Retired, too.
Yeah.
And he got that, what, 120 contract?
Oh, Gil's good. Yeah, I feel like he was getting paid till last year.
Has the residual money for?
Like, he is on that Bobby Bonilla plan.
Is Allen Houston, too, right? And the Knicks played Allen Houston for a long time, too.
Allen Houston was getting that bread. Shout out to the Noobs. Once again.
I forgot that he was a Catholic.
We out here. Showing that long money.
I forgot all about
that. Trying to get that long money.
Houston, where do you go? Allen Houston go to college at?
Tennessee.
Oh, shit. Okay. Shout out to the volunteers.
What we got here? Where is it at? Gilbert Arenas. You sent me this one. You should have this.
No, you sent it to me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh. Which one is that?
Hold on.
Where are we at?
Oh, no, I sent it to you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll read the headline. So, basically, Gilbert Arenas he's probably a degenerate gambler at some point.
Yeah.
Gilbert puts up $100,000 for a shootout with Nick Young.
Oh, my God.
His 95 out of 100 shots.
Could there be any two more OC people that could possibly be?
They need a TV show. There's a reality show.
It'll be like Homeboys in Hollywood.
No. I want them to drive from coast to coast.
Mm. Like Key and Peele did in season 3?
Yep. And then just follow them in different... You know what? Remember the Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie show, Simple Life, where they would travel around and do shit? That's what they should do. Just travel around and do different dumb shit in different cities.
Mm-hmm.
Together. Or, feel me on this though, strip clubs. They tour the strip clubs across the country.
James Harden's got to be there, like Dean.
You got guest stars.
He's got to be there, like Dean Stockwell on Quantum Leap, where he just walk out of the little
with the tricorder. Yeah. With the tricorder.
And James Harden there is like.
What was it? His name was Ziggy.
Yeah, James Harden, Pac-Man Jones, and Trick Daddy are there as they spirit guys.
And Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah. And Nelly.
That credit card swipe is. That was what it was. That was the topic I did. Listeners, get on top of this. We need to come up with the top 5 songs from BET Uncut time. Stay on us about this. This idea I had. And I'm putting it out there in the atmosphere for y'all to remind us and get on us about doing that.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Black Jesus, tell me what that thing smell like, is a high propensity to be in this top 5.
White girls.
Tip drill,
I mean, it's going to be tough. Tip drill is kind of like what Crossroads was to the box.
The box really blew up, not for Crossroads, the Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
And I Miss You by Aaron Hall.
That's true.
That was on.
And Luke videos.
Yes.
Yeah. Luke videos are big on the box.
Did you ever buy anything off the box?
No, but I won 2 free videos.
All right.
Yeah, they want to. They had like a thing going on, like you had to call into the number or something like that. And I got 2 free videos. So the videos I chose, because that's probably the next question people are going to ask, and like, what video you chose? I'm a degenerate kid at the time. I was 12.
Put them on the glass.
No, put them on glass. I was mad. Put them on glass came out a month after I did my selections. Wu-Tang Clan Cream.
I knew you were going to say something like that. I knew it.
And Rough Shaker.
Oh my God. You hit the two. You hit the two close to life.
Look, and keep in mind, Rough Shaker wasn't even out then. It was like one of the old videos they had on there. I went back. Rough Shaker came out in 92. This is 94. Yeah, I had to go back to our child. Rough Shaker is a very special place in my heart.
Okay. Yes.
Very special place in my heart.
As a, I mean, I'm a saxophone enthusiast as well.
I forgot that. I have to look it up. There is somebody that's in there that's famous. That's a woman. I forgot who it was though. That's one of the chicks in the bikinis. But so let me read into the copy here. Remember in Gilbert Arenas shooting with just one hand, knocked down 73 out of 100 threes in a $20,000 shootout with Deshaun, LeBron. How does my dirt taste, Stevenson? This happened back in 2007. Around the same time, he was dropping 56 points. 50 or 60 points on your favorite player, Steve Nash and Kobe, earning the money from the worst NBA contract ever. No, that's not true. He doesn't have the worst NBA contract ever.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there, but he's not. It's got to be like Juwan Howard or something.
I'll think about
it. Or Allen Houston, too.
I'll think about worst NBA contract.
And it's in 2018, Arena's still talking shit and showing that his motherfucking arm doesn't lose bets. In this new video from his No Chill Promotions YouTube channel, Arena shows up to a gym with $100,000 in cash to challenge his friend and former Wizards teammate Nick Young to a friendly shootout. The NBA champ was a no-show, so Arena decided to shoot his 100 shots anyway. He made 95 out of the 100.
I mean, shoot your shot, bro. Get it in.
A part of me thinks he should have played for the Suns. That's some part of me. Bro.
He needs to be in the big three. That's what needs to be happening. Like, I'm tired of this. I'm sure there's
and a Kobe place. Needs to too.
I'm sure Kobe literally said there's no way he'll ever play basketball again.
What if he coached in the big three? That would be a good thing.
Kobe says he is done with basketball.
Period. He just moved on. Just
he's helping people work on their shot.
Because I saw him with Candace Parker.
Yeah,
or,
like, he's working with people individually, but he says there's no way I'm ever playing basketball again. Yeah, I remember Kobe.
He had a lot of treadmill tires.
I mean, that knee. There's no way. And if you Kobe,
right? And he don't want to get embarrassed because you know them cats out there, the big three, well, yeah, their body's a little bit more.
If you Kobe dirt. Bryant, you can't not be Kobe Bryant. The standard of being Kobe
and
Bryant.
Some cats will try to give it to you out there too.
Oh, always.
It's a dude that played on the South City, Sioux City Hawks in the CBA that's like, oh, I'm going to give him these buckets.
Yeah. You got target on your back? You got target on your back. But yeah, Gilbert Arenas is living his best life. He's on the Living My Best Life All-Stars.
He says he does some crazy shit, though.
Mm-hmm. He had, like, a show with Mia Khalifa.
Yeah, like that. It's a sports show on Complex.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
I don't know.
I mean, he almost got shot up by Javaris Crittenden, though, too. And we know, and we learn later on that he really will shoot you.
Yeah. Yeah, don't mess with him.
I'm wondering, does Gilbert Arenas look back and be like, oh. Like, I mean, he knew it was serious.
He almost ended up like Bobby Brown. In that car.
Yeah. Because that's what happened with Javaris Crittenden.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think about. That fucking Javaris Crittenden was fucking playing for the Lakers and fucking was getting arrested. Like, yo, for real?
SBI is the
he joined the Crips, too, after he was already in the league. Which I never understood that shit. How the fuck you joined the game after you already got paper?
Probably the options are slim.
No.
You getting in, dog.
Oh, you saying like, you gonna join this squad.
You getting down, bro. That's how LeBron gonna be getting cast to join the Lakers by December. Cass gonna come to play the Lakers, he just ain't gonna let him leave LA. He ain't getting on that plane. Y'all might as well take off.
And you have to join Bloods.
Right.
LeBron, you got a blood, so what?
So, speaking of which, let's talk about the real quick. I just want to take a quick asshole of the week shot.
Oh shit! Here we go.
There's a lot of people that have seen Sharknado, the film. I guess yes. It's one, maybe the most self-explanatory movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, with the weather that's going on, first of all, shout out to everybody that's down, you know, along the coast right now. That's like
yeah,
the
hurricane, yeah.
Like this hurricane is supposed to be like crazy on another level that we never even thought about in this world. But I mean, like, I just hope everybody's good. I got people down there I care about. You know, I'm sure everybody else does too. So shout out to everybody over there. But, you know, one hoax site on the internet said that sharks are getting lifted out of the water and hurled towards land by the sheer force of Hurricane Caroline.
And be safe and watch out.
To be safe, watch out. Be careful that a shark don't land in your front yard. So Rush Limbaugh, of all people, took this as the gospel and went on his show, which I make the mistake of hearing like 3 times a week because it comes on the same station as the baseball game. And if I get in the car and haven't changed the station, if I was listening to the game, mm-hmm. it's playing in the middle of the day, and I'd be like, oh, I gotta get this shit off of here right now. Rush Limbaugh goes on and warned people about this and says, I got the proof. You don't believe me? And referenced this fake article like it was from the National Goddamn Weather Service. That a shark was going to be hurled out of a hurricane and land in your front yard, and you are not safe.
But the problem is that the shark has to be in water to live, so he's going to die immediately from being.
So here's the thing. Meanwhile,
you can wait it out and just let the shark die from not having
water. A shark can land in your fucking living room, and you gonna live.
Yes.
Just don't let it land on top of you. Right.
That's, yeah, that's a different thing. It's not like Sharknado, people.
Which could not happen.
But yo, the fact that that's when you know we have literally jumped the shark as a society, pun intended. When that shit like that's going down, like fuck, like yo, you're out here saying like yo, the sharks is gonna get us, yo.
The red coats are coming.
The red coats.
The red coats are coming. In the midst of more crazy. A crazy news week here. This one dropped into my lap and I just didn't even know what to do with it. I'm just going to read the headline and you can go from mm-hmm. wherever you want to go with it. I found this on CNN. Chinese kindergarten principal.
Not a hoax CNN.
No, this is actual CNN. Chinese kindergarten principal fired after welcoming kids with pole dance. Meaning that on the first day of school,
she was playing Timmy with that thing smell like. But she was
during the assembly, she's shaking that thing in front of the kindergarten.
I wanna kick it tonight. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Here's the byline for this article. A Chinese kindergarten principal has been fired after she welcomed students back to school at the beginning of the term with a pole dancing display. Hundreds of children and parents at the Shishui kindergarten in Shenzhen in the southern province of Guangdong watched. Yeah. As a female pole dancer performed on a flagpole in a large
court. Oh, so they brought a stripper in? Oh, wow. So I was thinking it was an actual teacher. They brought in talent.
Speaking to the state media, the principal, Lai Rong, said there had been 500 kids aged 3 to 6 and 100 parents in attendance.
Wow. And that's like real communist part of China too. That's not even like Shanghai or Hong Kong where it's kind of more liberal.
So like in other words, somebody about to die on the other side of this.
You think not?
Or somebody already is dead.
Or in jail or in a concentration camp somewhere, you know, breaking rocks.
With their head.
Yeah. Because that's what they'll do to you over there.
Mm-hmm. You gotta send Trump over there to get them out. That's our only hope.
Trump like, but they're illegal.
Yeah, like, no, I can't go over there.
I can't do that. No. No.
Somebody sent me a picture of a cracker with a spread of peanut butter on top of it, and it resembled Donald Trump earlier today.
Oh,
I think
no.
My aunt sent it to me, and immediately I thought, man, this would be spot on if it was a Cheeto.
Oh, if it was a Cheeto, it'd be fire.
Or a Cheez-It. Or one of them little snack pack crackers with the peanut butter on the inside.
Yeah, where you have the little dipping joint with it.
Do you want to talk about Kanye? It's our weekly Kanye West check-in.
Yeah. So Kanye went on a Twitter rant and was talking about, which is, he's like, well, yeah, because I'm getting back into the arts, and I'm going to be teaching at the Chicago Institute of Art this semester or this semester. So everybody's like, oh, shit. So Chicago Institute was getting all these calls, people trying to apply because they think he's going to be instructing. And they were like, we ain't even talked to this motherfucker at all. We don't even know what y'all talking about. Then they said that they had to deny it, saying like, no, we don't even know anything he's talking about with that. So shout out to Kanye for that. For lying. Or maybe he thought he really was. Because he, you know what? Kanye's the type of dude that would be like, yo, I talked to the lunch lady, she said they gotta open it. I know I can get it. I'm gonna teach there. You know what I mean? Like, this he heard as an opening. He'd be like, I could call him a week before classes start, this is some Kanye, and I could be the professor.
Yeah. I'll be the dean of students at Harvard because there's no.
Because I'm Kanye and it's open. I talked to her, she said that she had talked to them about them for me. She said why wouldn't they want me there? I'm Kanye. You know how many students would want to come into my classes? They're enrolling to go through the roof.
Bill Burr did a skit about Kanye West and said that if a white guy was saying this, he'd sound like Adolf Hitler.
Oh, shit. You're going to have to send me this shit.
We can cut it into here.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I'm going to cut it in.
Here we go. So my wife got freaked out because I told him, like, she was loving the guy. And I was thinking he was cool. And then one day I saw him do an interview, and he was talking shit about how great he was. And there was just this look that was in his eye, and it just made me nervous. I'm like, dude, this guy's volatile, man. There's something with this guy. He's making me nervous. This guy is, like, right on the edge of, like, snapping, right? She goes, you're out of your mind. And I was thinking, I don't know. I think this guy's fucked up. And then I was convinced because one day I came walking in and she was listening to him do an interview and I didn't know it was him. And he was just in the middle of talking about how great he was. And I came walking in and all I did was hear this shit. And like literally a chill ran down my spine. And I just started thinking like, no, no, no. And I turned and I looked before it even registered that it was Kanye. My first thought was, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. It's just a black guy. Oh. God, it's just a black guy. Yeah, Em, you're right to pull back. This is right to get awkward here because you don't know where this could go. This could very easily go in a clannish direction. Okay? So just let me clarify. Just hear me out. I'm thinking, thank God it's a black guy. Meaning, thank God that ego that is in him, when that thing floated down from the heavens, or the cosmos, whatever the hell Joel Osteen shit you believe, all right? When that thing was floating down, it could have landed in anybody. Thank God it landed in a black guy. Thank God it got wrapped up in that, trapped within that. It's safe in there. No reason to worry when it's in there, because if that ego, however, had floated down and landed in a blue-eyed white dude, there is no telling the damage that could have been done. You're talking entire civilizations wiped out, worldwide famine, the moon colliding with the earth. Thank God that ego landed in a black guy. Because he's just as nuts as some of the craziest white dudes of all time. He just doesn't have the opportunity to follow through with the madness. Right? Yeah, there's a glass ceiling on evil. You never noticed that? Dude, go home, put on the History Channel. Like the top 9 out of 10 most batshit crazy dudes who ever walked the earth are all white dudes. Now, why is that? Because white dudes are more evil than anybody else? It's a possibility. It's a possibility. We definitely got the numbers. But I think it's different. I just think, you know what it is? Nobody's watching white dudes. All right, white dudes don't, too many of them gather and somebody pulls up. All right, break it up, keep it moving. Get out of here. Getting pulled over for no fucking reason. None of that shit. You're a white dude. It's just an open field. Anything you think, hey, I'm going to do that. No one's stopping you. You just start running. Next thing you know, you're handing out buttons. You got your own uniform. You're starting a fucking war, right? All Kanye West is allowed to do is fuck up an award show every 3 to 4 years, make a public service announcement a little awkward for Mike Myers. That's as far as he's ever going to get. I know. You don't believe me. Dude, okay. Next time Kanye's going off on himself, I'm telling you, just close your eyes, forget it's him, and really listen to what is coming out of this guy's mouth. He says shit like, I'm a genius. I'm a god, I'm Shakespeare. My biggest regret is I'll never get to see myself perform live. That's a direct quote. My biggest regret is I'll never get to see myself perform live. Dude, you put that ego in a white dude that is, it's benignin' in the Streisand! What's the Blitzkrieg? What's the Superiores? Vienna will return to Deutschland first! No, I'm telling you, but we're okay. We're okay. It's in a black guy. Nothing's gonna happen. You never notice.
So that was, I mean, Bill Burr.
He's right, though. He's right. Imagine if you saw Kanye West on the subway and he was just walking around saying Kanye West stuff.
Saying, you know, slavery's a choice, man. Just like those Jewish people, they deserve to be put in the oven. Whoa, buddy.
Let's take it easy. Let's take it all the way easy.
Yeah, this is.
Let's get to, we got a dual main event for the week. First is about Ray Allen, who, Sugar Ray, who we've referenced on this show in multiple capacities in the past. Please go back to the earlier days of the program and you can hear about the Ray Allen Twitter
debacle,
jumping in the DMs situation. It's a true tragedy.
Ray Yun, no. Yeah. That's when we talk about Rick Ross too.
I think it's Ray probably Yun. Like episode 2 or 3.
No. It's like
that was
like
early,
like 89 or something like that. I have to look it up. But the episode name is Ray Yun.
How many of these shows have we done?
Well, I mean, you got you did on Straight Outta Locast when we did that. You was a guest on there.
Oh, we did it twice. Oh yeah. I did bring it up.
It was Ray Yun. Is Ray Yun? No, I think it's Ray Yun. Remember the Rick Ross thing that happened with the. With the drink, he's like putting my lip in a drink and you don't even know. And I think we said Ray, you don't even know.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because Ray dropped that savagery in there.
Yeah, he was on some like, yo, it's too savage for this podcast even what Ray was saying in the DMs.
I have to find it. I'll read it. I just have to find it again. But anyway, though, right? Anyway, Ray Allen went to the Hall of Fame. And if anybody doesn't know, he had beef with the Celtics. You know, they felt some type of way when he left the Celtics to go to the Heat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they felt like it was
It's 50 Shades of Ray.
Yes, 50 Shades of Ray. That's
right. And you don't even know. Yeah. So if you go back into the archives, episode 69. Australia. Okay.
Of course.
50 Shades of Ray Allen, you and you ain't know.
Yeah, okay, that's like 2
I may put, you know what, I'm going to put that up as a flashback episode this week. So I'm going to put it up on Tuesday, y'all.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to put that up. I'm going to put that up for our listeners so y'all can see the savagery of Ray Allen.
Yeah, that's worth a flashback. But, you know, so Ray and Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Rajon Rondo, Kendrick Perkins, Glenn Davis, Big Baby Davis that was on that team. Yo, it was like all of them against Ray because they felt like he abandoned them when he dipped to go to Miami and play with LeBron and the crew down there. Well, Ray went to the Hall of Fame and finally they buried the hatchet. Paul Pierce had good things to say about him. You know, Ray had his Celtics championship ring on. He was showing love, you know, about that era in his career. Because Ray's never been the one that had the beef on his side. He was just always like, you know, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, apparently those cats put the hatchet down and now they made up.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings the question to me, it's like, when do you get to a situation where if you fell out with your boys, you gotta go ahead and just be like, you know what, fuck it? Because this all falls into the pocket of potentially this weekend when we see one of the great, well, I mean, like, it's kind of like we have to go see Bell Biv DeVoe and Bobby Brown. Like, I don't think
we talk so much shit about it, I don't think that
we cannot go and at least give them our money. Or somebody has spent their money on the show.
There you go.
And buy the ticket secondhand. Either way, I'm going to buy a drink there.
Yes.
They don't get a cut of that.
No.
Maybe I'll get a program. No, I won't.
Do they sell programs anymore?
Yeah. Hell yeah, they do. I bought shit at concerts in the
last
3 years. And I've been like, God damn, this t-shirt is $40.
Whoa, a t-shirt $40?
Bruh. 40 piece. Janet.
I can see Janet with a 40-piece t-shirt.
I even went to Billy Joel, 45. He had a $100 baseball jersey that somebody was walking around in. was like, y'all out here.
You think is Billy Joel bigger than Janet Jackson?
Bigger than? I don't know. It's different.
Can't it's just
this. I mean, yeah, that's weird. This like two completely different.
Yeah, and
crowds.
And I would say Janet Jackson's bigger. She's got more hits.
I can't compare.
And she spent more decades too.
I can't compare the two. I won't. It's too I'm going to compare. It's like comparing Mark Messier to Kobe Bryant or something. It's weird. You can't do it.
Good point.
But it's a. So I mean, when you get to a point where you got to get back together with your boys, after you had like, have you ever had like a long term falling out with somebody that you bumped into and then like you had to get good? Like you didn't have to, but it was like it was time to get good.
The right thing. Yeah.
Like, see, I struggle with that because I got strong. I think I have a hereditary petty gene, where I'd be like, yo, like I'm good permanently.
No, you got
like I would have been the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce in this situation.
I mean, most stuff is forgivable to talk about whatever, unless it's like if you fuck my girl, you got at least 7 year absence in my life. It's kind of like, well, you know, statute of limitations.
Yeah, I would think
so. I can like you know like I'm over shit whatever. Money, but money can be money is. If that money didn't break me and like where like it put me in a bad position and somebody owed me and we fell out over that, I think that's you can get through that. But like if you lose me like $2, $3, $4, $5 million or something, or a certain amount where I'm broke and I'm getting evicted or some shit like that, then we may not be able to talk forever.
Okay, but not over something like. Yo, I'm pissed about the decision that you made, but, like, I can't fuck with you. You're not my boy.
No. I mean, unless they're doing drugs or something that can be harmful towards them. And I say drugs, I mean, like, hard shit.
Yeah.
And, like, that'd be harmful potentially to me, or you doing dumb shit that could be harmful to me, then that's a different thing. Like, hopefully you get help for whatever you're doing, if you know, or something like that. Then, yeah.
So, I mean, in the scenario sense of it, you know, there ain't too many points where you're going to get to be like, yo, we got, like, permanent beef. Like,
no.
we not holding it down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's ever any point in these cats having any beef with each other. Like, ever. None. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's dope when people get to a certain point in life and you be like, yo, it's time to get behind them.
But they was clowning, who was it that was clowning, was it Ray Allen? How was it Big Baby Davis? I forgot. They was clowning Ray, wasn't they? When it, was it Rondo or something? They went out, they had like that show together or something. They had like a reunion thing with the Celtics.
Yeah, it was on Area 21.
Right. But who was clowning Ray Allen on it? Was it Rondo?
Garnett.
It was Garnett?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then. Man, I still may have to see you though if I'm ready. Like, you can't be clowning me. Oh, yeah.
Kevin Garnett got bigger problems right now.
Yeah, you got divorces sitting up there on his
slab. And you got dudes stole the $71 million from.
Oh, what?
$77 million.
Like his financial advisor?
Yeah.
Woo! That might be a lie, though.
I mean, it could be true, though.
It might be a lie because he's getting divorced. That's real convenient. That.
No, I think this might be the time when he called him debt to you. Like, hey, dog, I knew someone right here. I need that now.
Oh, you said, no. Yeah, then you give no more.
I need to give some of this to her.
But I'm saying, no. I don't have that. I'm only worth $144 and I lost $77. You only can get half of my $77.
That's still a lot of money.
I know, but I'm saying if you hold my other $77 somewhere else saying that it was stolen, then I can get
like,
access
like
back
to you. Got a homeboy in Switzerland?
There you go. That's what I said. It's real convenient that you lost $77 and you getting divorced.
Hey, speaking of people losing money, what the hell is wrong with Le'Veon? Like, there's no win and there's no loss in this whole thing. Like, you're losing $836,000 a week holding out to try to get more money down the road.
I see it from his perspective. I kind of feel his principle, though. Because he only has a certain amount of time before they're going to say, fuck you anyway.
Well, but my thing about it is get every dollar that you can up front, though, too. Like, he's forfeited all the money, forfeited for missing camp, and now you're missing game checks. You're literally just not getting money. You're not going to recoup.
Right, but he's looking at it like, I'm going to be fucking up my body and losing potential money in the future by putting my body on risk every game.
I get it. I totally get it. But my big philosophy always is get every dollar you can get and then worry about it.
Yeah, but I think running back, that is a specific thing. We've seen these motherfuckers just get dropped. And I remember the first running back I remember where I was like, yo, he just is fucking gone was Sean Alexander. That dude went from like MVP candidate and then gone in 2 years. Well, we didn't see this motherfucker at all.
He might have owed Kevin Garnett $77
million. had to get loose.
Get out of here.
But I'm not mad at Le'Veon. If he got the dough to be able to sit there and make it happen, and he can stand on his principles on that, too good for him, man. That's how I feel. Good for Le'Veon.
I can't walk away from the 1-6.
Look, if he get but he may be good with what he got. But he's like, yo, like people said the same thing about Calvin Johnson when he left. Like, damn, you gonna leave all that money on the table by retiring? You got a good 5-6 years left making X amount of dollars as the number one receiver in the
field. Calvin Johnson's at a point though where he couldn't go, like he couldn't live the life. Like he didn't retire because he was hurt, but he was just like, yo, getting ready to do this every year is just too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, cats walk away from money, but cats also walk away from fortunes that I can't even comprehend in the first place. So it's kind of like,
but that's the thing though, you're doing it against somebody that's got a little more paper than maybe they stacked and things like
that.
Well,
I hope they have. Jesus Christ, I hope you got money put away. Alright, man, main event time. Let's get to it.
Social media etiquette.
It's time for that quarterly check-in.
We've done a couple of these. When, like, the whole airing out people thing, like, yo, I'm going to put this motherfucker on blast. When does it become corny?
As soon as you do it the first time.
Okay, well, end of the topic, we're done.
All right, great. Let's go.
But no, the reason I say this is that people are out here airing people out in general on social media, but then using that account for their business account. Like, you sell clothes, or you are a financial advisor, let's use Kevin Garnett's financial advisor, but he's on there saying, fuck my wife, she fuck with my boy Chris. You'd be like, hold on, man. Right before that, you was giving me financial advice tips in the tweet before this.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying, fuck your wife and that nigga Chris? Like, this don't associate themselves correctly. And I think people misstep or think emotionally within the moment. And mm-hmm. I get that because it's an emotional thing as you go through it in a relationship. But goddamn, man, like, and they say, have some pride about yourself to a certain extent.
I think you need to always be cognizant of the fact that what you're putting out there
is forever. Is the great Cardi B said forever.
That's the first time I ever saw Cardi B was when I was shown that, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Forever.
And when
we beefing forever.
Forever. I was like, oh, okay.
And then you're pretty strong with your convictions. So what do you feel about it? You know?
Man, I don't think social media is a place for all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, my thing always is, like, there's certain things put out there. Like, most of the things I put on social media, either A, to make a point about something, B, actually, A, to promote something,
mm-hmm.
B, to make a point about something, or to C, try to make light of a situation.
Because
it's like, it just ain't, I'm not putting a whole lot of my life out there and, like, all that type of stuff, because it's like, that ain't for
public consumption.
Yeah,
like,
that ain't for it.
And that's the thing is that you notice most people, when they be egging people up, it's like they're getting part of the show. Like, you know, hey man, that's right, tell that nigga Chris he shouldn't be messing with your wife. You know, there's people that'll egg that on and then they get caught up and it's like a fucked up circle because they're getting attention and they're getting something they feel they're not getting because of that mate or that person that wronged them.
Right.
So they're feeding into it and then they start putting out more shit. I'm gonna start hotting them then now. I'm going to put up all these pictures and put up some text messages and all that. Maybe I'm just from, from a different
era. We are from a different era.
Yeah.
We are from a different generation.
But no, I seen motherfuckers our age doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a bunch of slow-to-develop motherfuckers in the head that don't know how to grow up and just get past doing some stuff. You know, it goes into the same thing. You got them people who's just like living them fake ass lives on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you only see them on the internet when they're on vacation. You'd be like, you really on vacation? Or you still got pictures?
Because I was somebody was put up a tweet from somebody that they was talking to a girl on a trip, and he said she will save not post certain pictures so that she can put them up at other times. People think she's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, shit, really? Wow. That's a sad existence to be living. That you sitting in Oklahoma City and you went to Cancun 2 months ago, but you posted, had to re-up on my Cancun trip.
Super low, super, super sad. Like, you can do it as like a throwback. I don't know the etiquette of how you're supposed to Instagram. I think it's a throwback Thursday. What is it, a man crush Monday?
Yeah, and woman crush Wednesday.
Okay. I've never participated in any of those.
No, I haven't. I've done throwbacks. TBT. I did throwback Tuesdays a lot. I like those.
It's like, oh, you can do it on Tuesday, too.
You can do TBT on Tuesdays, too? It's throwback Thursdays.
So what is...
TBT. Throwback Thursday.
But you said you do it on Tuesdays.
No. I misspoke when I said that. I meant Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I misspoke when I said that.
Oh, well, that's fine. I guess.
So let us know y'all thoughts. How do y'all think people should interact on social media?
Like, what do you not want to see? Like, take away, like, everybody likes to see a car crash. Like, everybody likes to see a little entertainment.
But then the other thing
I don't like to see is when people are constantly, like, putting scenarios out there that it got to do with them, but they acting like it's just like
asking for a friend.
And I'm like, who thinks about this if it ain't actually happening in their life?
So if you at home and your dog comes in the room, and then your homeboy comes in too, and your dog is hungry, what you want? What should you do? What?
Huh?
Feed the dog.
Hello.
Like,
yeah. Fly.
Right. Like, you'd be like, what kind of scenario is this?
Where is this happening at? This happened right now, dude. Like, this literally just happened to you, didn't it?
Yeah, so thank y'all for listening. As always, Matt, where can I hit you up at?
On Twitter, man. You can find me at Cheap Seat Fan. Got the blue check I'm still trying to figure out what to do with. It's there.
You should just hit up random people on this.
I should start using it to, like, hit
just
up
see
other
if people.
People
just like, yo, man, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Hit up, like, Rihanna or something like that.
Yeah, they see the blue check. Like, who the fuck is Matt Langley?
I'm like, shit, I'm nobody. I'm just a dude.
Literally.
Hey, we might have to do an emergency podcast on Sunday night, though.
After the podcast. After
we might have to do an emergency one.
Yeah.
People might need it.
The review of the RB.
I haven't seen Bobby Brown in a long time.
Have you heard his new single?
I've heard that it is a thing.
It's okay.
Okay.
The hook is fine.
Okay.
I don't like the verses part, but the hook is classic Bobby. Because his last album was trash to me, and I love Bobby Brown. The album came out around 2011, I believe. I downloaded it, and I was like, oh, no, Bob. Like, your production was all off. It wasn't even Teddy Riley. It was Hedy Riley or somebody random producing on there, you know. But this one sounds a little bit better. Course-wise, I don't know if I'm in love with the lyrics on it, but...
Hedy Riley, man.
Make sure y'all email us, straightolc@gmail.com. Hit us up with reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, anywhere where you get reviews at. Soon, we're going to be doing some giveaways. So
We got some traveling shows coming up. We got some more live shows that are in the work. Some real dope live shows that are coming up. There's a lot happening. You're checking out the show at the right time. The takeoff is happening. The takeoff is getting ready to jump. You can say you were here back when.
At the beginning.
Right now. Brackets, right now. Head on over. Bracketfly.com. Dopest black TV shows all the time. We down to round three with the Elite Eight. Stakes is high.
Bill versus Bill.
With the cream. Talk about cream. With the cream.
Cream.
Status.
That's real. Thank y'all for listening. As always, we will holler at y'all. Peace.